And the thing about iron, you know, scripture said iron sharpens iron. The only way I can sharpen iron is if he's already iron. So my husband, he is becoming. So God, I want to sharpen his iron. Help me, teach me, mold me to give language to who he is, even when he doesn't know. You know, and I'm not trying to make him be who I want him to be. God, I want to be part of the answered prayer so I can help you. I can be your hands and feet in the natural for my husband. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
It's bigger than just the natural. For me, it's spiritual.
Hey, y'all, it's Shawana Stevens with the Well Network, and this is the Life and Podcast, because, you know, life be life in.
Hey y'all, it's Shawana Stevens with the Life and Podcast.
Hey y'all. Hey y'all, it's Shawana Stevens with the Life and Podcast. Y'all, today we're going to talk about marriages and relationships, and I'm so excited. I've been doing my research, and that makes me so excited to have the Keisha Bass here with her dope marriage. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I am super excited. I can't wait to see where this goes. So let's go.
Okay, well, let's jump in. So what do you consider hard when it comes to marriage? Tell the people what is hard about marriage.
Yeah, she's not playing. She's jumping right in. She's jumping right in. I think what I've seen, the hard part of marriage is, I don't even want to say communication, because we know that's hard. I think for me, the hardest part of marriage is healing from past trauma or past hurts or past some of the past things that you've dealt with growing up. I think that's the hardest part, because sometimes we tend to project that on our spouse. And so if he hurts my feelings, well, I'm feeling some kind of way, but that's the only reason why is because he touched a wound that wasn't healed.
Yeah.
So I would say one of the hardest things is so many, but one of the things that I hear often is, you know, yes, I'm angry with my husband, but it's not because of what he's doing. It's because he touched a wound, girl, that was never healed.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the hardest things. Of course, we know communication finances, but I wanted to give you something different.
Yeah. You know, that's what's crazy about that is, so we were fasting this week, the first part of the week. And one of the things that I heard God clearly say, he gave me two words. The first word was submission, and the other word was pride.
Oh.
And as I was thinking about all of those things, and especially what you just said, past trauma, past hurts, and wounds that haven't been healed, God was showing me literally how you start operating in pride because of those wounds. So it's like you're trying to protect the wound and protect the heart. So then you puff up because you're like, okay, I'm not going to let this hurt me again.
Right.
And so the fact that you started out with that one, let me know. We going good.
Oh, yeah. Can I add to this? You had said something about pride. I was just having a conversation with one of my clients on yesterday, and we talked about pride. And sometimes we think self-pity, like, oh, woe is me. We feel some kind of way. But the only reason, I think the reason, the root of that is pride, because we feel a way. We want what we want, and we have self-pity because, oh, we feel some kind of way because we don't have what we want. And so, literally, that's not really self-pity. Girl, the root of that is pride.
Yeah.
And so, to me, when you said that, it just brought it full circle back to that conversation that we just had on yesterday, how pride is the root of so many things that we do because we want what we want.
Right. It's also crazy to me, too, when we start looking at social media and things like that, and TV, I think almost Hollywood is painting the picture that you deserve this because we feel like we deserve this. That's that pride coming up. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we do deserve it. But at the same time, we got to work for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good. What needs to be addressed in the single stage so that we can approach marriage the right way? Because I hear a lot of people, I have this saying to say, the single want to be married and the married want to be single. And that's a joke. But I think because people want to get to that destination, I think in order to approach marriage the right way, you do have to prep. You do have to do the groundwork. I know for me, several years, I feel like I failed at marriage because I felt like I didn't do certain things to set myself up. And so then when I got in it, I wasn't prepared. And I felt like I was acting out in ways that wasn't appropriate for marriage. But had I taken the time, instead of wishing to be married so bad, if I had just rested in my singleness and started doing the work, I feel like I would have been a little bit more equipped to be a married woman. So tell me a little bit about that.
That's so good. I would say one of the things goes back to the first thing that I talked about is getting healed. I'll say this, you know, one of the things that I dealt with later in my marriage is rejection. And it came from having daddy issues that I didn't know I had. You know, and so if I would have sat still and listened to God, because I had a relationship with God, and I'm sure he was trying to show me certain things about me, but I was always looking at my husband, figuring out what's wrong with him and trying to be his daddy, I mean, his mom, his pastor, his God, his Holy Spirit. I was trying to be all the things. And I felt like God was trying to get my attention about me. And so dealing with me, per se, rejection was one of the things that really cause issues in my marriage, because rejection, trust issues, all of that was under the same umbrella, and I didn't feel good enough. And so I would say to that woman or that man that's looking to get married, really deal with the root of what are you dealing with? What is that thing that's holding you back? What is that thorn in your flesh? And so I think a couple years ago, that's when God revealed to me the root of some of the things that I was dealing with was rejection. And so, you know, and be okay with that. It's okay to get healed. It's okay to have conversations with therapists. It's okay to, you know, to love God and still go and have a conversation with someone that can help you get to the root of your of the issues that you're dealing with. I would also say, you know, your relationship with God. People, they want to get married so bad, and you always hear, well, I want to become one with my spouse. Well, you first have to become one with God. And so without becoming one with God first, it's hard to become one with your spouse. And I think we get it twisted. You know, we take the scriptures for what they are, but we don't allow the scriptures to read us. You know, and so at the end of the day, I just feel like for women and men, that's real. They want this because this is not for the weak. Listen, sis,
it's not.
It's not for the weak. I'm telling you,
it's for grown folks.
Grown folks, you know, that know how to get on their knees and pray, because that's where my battle starts. I mean, that's where the battle starts for me. Is I don't go to my husband now. Even now, if there is an issue, I'm always gonna go to God first. Daddy, what deal with your son? He got an issue. Do you want me to have a conversation, or are you going to deal with him on it? So I would say I went around the whole world. Now I'm back. You know, that they need to really deal with their own issues, their past issues, their trauma. You know, did you heal from the past relationships? Are you carrying some stuff that you need to let go of? Listen, I can talk about this all day.
You said something that triggered this for me. So this wasn't in the plan, but I want you to hear your insight here.
Okay.
We were in a conversation yesterday, and it was coming from 1 Peter 3. And it talked about how, and I think you alluded to it a little bit, but sometimes we want to fix the person so bad. And we want, it's like we can see, it's almost like with our children. As mothers, we have the ability to look at our children and see where they have the potential to be. And I think we do that with our spouses as well. We can almost like see something that maybe they don't see in themselves, but we try to mold them into that. And as I was reading 1 Peter chapter 3, it talked about how we can actually have... I feel like I'm going to give it to you.
Girl, listen. Listen, you know what? That is, I don't know if you're talking about 1 Peter 3:1, because that is my absolute favorite scripture. That is my go-to scripture. Yes. That is my scripture that I, you know, that's part of one of my anthems. I have many, but that's one. I'm like, you have the ability to influence him based on how you live your life. Right. He's not listening to, he is listening. Well, I don't know, but you know, he may be listening, but he's actually looking at how you live your life. Yeah. Tell me, you know, what are you doing to influence his movement towards towards God? Yeah. Of course, he has his own Damascus Road experience, but what are we doing? Oh my gosh, like that is my absolute favorite scripture. I was like, I can barely contain myself because, you know, we have a lot of influence. And one of the things you talked about, the help me. I want to be a helpmeet. I'm his rib. But see, I think most of the time what we as women want to do, helpmeet, we think it's helping God do what he needs to do. It goes back to what you said. Mm-hmm. You know, we want him to be this, this, and this. But what about, what does God sees for him? What does God want for him? And so at the end of the day, we have to release our will and give it to God. So, girl, I love that.
I love how you said it matters. It's almost as though you were saying it matters most what God sees.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to subject what your eyesight to God's, what God's vision is. Because sometimes we think we know.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily know. So that's good. I'm glad you said that. That struck a nerve. For me, that was good for me.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it's like, God, give me vision. I don't want to look at what I see in the natural. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of us get tripped up. We look at what's in front of us.
Yeah.
And we're asking God, when are you going to do this? What's the when, what, who? And we forget about the how. I mean, we forget about the who, you know. And I had that all mixed up, but we forget about the who. And God is saying, look, let me do what I need to do, not just in your husband, but in you in this season. Because see, I'm not the person I was even last week, because I continue to evolve. And the thing about iron, you know, scripture said iron sharpens iron. The only way I can sharpen iron is if he's already iron. So my husband, he is becoming. So God, I want to sharpen his iron. Help me, teach me, mold me to give language to who he is, even when he doesn't know, you know. And I'm not trying to make him be who I want him to be. God, I want to be part of the answered prayer so I can help you. I can be your hands and feet in the natural for my husband. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
It's bigger than just the natural. For me, it's spiritual.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest things, I was thinking about another scripture, the scripture that says at the mention, or it talks about at the name of Jesus, knees shall bow. And I started studying the word name.
Mm.
And the word name, it simply means the character of.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times we're trying to influence people, but we don't recognize that it's the character of Jesus Christ that's going to really open that person up, or for it, you know what I mean? It actually, the character of Jesus in you is what's going to soften the heart of those around us.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to put more emphasis on the character. And I think when we realize that, and when we start, it's like we want to affect and influence the people around us, not realizing that the character change is going to happen in you first.
Yes.
And so we're trying to influence, but God should be influencing us.
Yes.
And as he does that, then we rub off on the other person. And I think that for me, I remember the day that I went to go look for my wedding dress. this woman that was helping me, she was sizing me and all that kind of stuff. She said, I want to give you a piece of advice. And I was like, okay. And I was just gullible. I was, you know, just really just show me the dress. But she said, we have been married for 30 years. They have been married, and it was half and half. But she said the first 15 years were terrible. She said the second half, we're living in bliss.
Mm.
But she said the first part of our marriage, I tried to change my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So she was telling me, don't do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I still did it anyway. I still did it anyway. So I'm grateful for that, which you said. One of the videos that T sent me was of you actually talking about your story and how that was the same for you. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you an opportunity to share with our viewers some of your actual story. because as I was listening to that, gosh, I felt the presence of the Lord. And the reason why is because it resonated with me. And I believe more people need to hear to hear that.
All right, let's see. Let me see where I want to start. I'll just say this, for going back to what you said about the lady that talked about the 30 years and the first 15 years were, yeah. So for us, the first 11 years were just pure hell. First of all, I wasn't healed. I was trying to be my husband's, going back to what I said before, I was trying to be everything to him. My words wounded my husband because I didn't know who I was. And my identity was tied to hurt and pain and shame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you don't know who you are, there's no way you can love the man that God sent to you. And so I was dealing with low self-esteem. I'm like, this man, there's no way he wants me. So every time he went out the house, I had a problem because, like, I just assumed that he was going looking for something greater. And so I didn't understand who I was. And then on top of that, I gave my life to God and still had problems. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling God at maybe like year 10, I'm like, God, I'm tired. Yeah. You know, when are you going to come in and fix my marriage? And I never forget, God said, when you get out the way. And I'm like, I'm praying, I'm doing all the things. But see, my motive was praying wasn't really to fix my husband. My motive was to check off a box. And I didn't really want God to change me. I wanted God to change him. I didn't think I was the one with the problem. And so I'm like, God, when are you going to come? And I never forget this one day. He said, he's my son before he's your husband. You're trying to fix him. You're trying to make him be who you want him to be. But what about me? I am God. I am Alpha. When are you going to let me be God? And I'm like, but God, he doesn't know how to talk. He's angry. He's this, he's that. But what about the toxicity in your words? Every time you say something to that man, you're not only are you poking holes in him, you're poking holes in your marriage. So every negative word you're saying over him, you're speaking it over your marriage. Mm-hmm. So the reason why you haven't progressed in your marriage is because of your words, your nastiness, your pride. We talked about that earlier. I'm like, God, okay, I get it. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm taking my hands off. And even before then, I remember this one time, I don't even know if you heard about this one, if it was on that video, but I never forget, I had given my life to God, mm-hmm. loving God, going to church. We were in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, gave my life to God, and it was watch night service. Girl had my little baby. I'm like, come on, kid, we're going to church. And my husband, I said, babe, you coming to church with us? He said, no. Girl laying in the bed drinking his little drinks. And I was like, ooh, it was as if Satan rose up in me. And I was like, so you're not coming to church? He said, no. So, girl, I tried to cuss him out. Mm-hmm. Now, I just gave my life to God, a couple weeks before then. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, when we got back home, I was still upset. So I went to him, still in my emotions, in my feelings, and I said, so you're not going to go to church? And it was as if God said this to me. He was like, why would I want to go to church when it's not working for you? I promise you, that made me take 10 steps back. Mm-hmm. It was as if God said, daughter, that's enough. Sat down somewhere. And let me be God. And so we were in Pennsylvania. And so about a year and a half, we had moved down to South Carolina. And about a year and a half later, I never forget these women, they knocked on the door.
And they were like, can we come in? I was like, let me make sure who you, I need to know who you are first. Mm-hmm. And I yelled upstairs, I was like, baby, can these people come in? And he had a cussing spirit, so I had to make sure it didn't come out. And so they came in and they started talking about God and who he is mm-hmm. and what he does and the love of Jesus and what he's done for us. In our living room, my husband gave his life to God.
Oh, man.
In our living room. And now, has it been easy since in our living room? No, because people think that once you give your life to God, everything's supposed to be peachy
right.
keen.
Right.
But the enemy, because now you are a threat to his kingdom, he's going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Mm-hmm. So he allowed my toxic words to still wound my husband. And then on top of that, I got mad when he didn't respond the way I wanted him to. But he needed to heal from my words. So that's just, y'all, that's just a little piece of it. But, girl, I'm just saying, the woman that you see today, I don't look like, and this is true, the truth, what I've been through. My truth is, I stand, that's why I do what I do, because mm-hmm. I want women to know, girl, listen, you can be jacked up, messed up, but God can still use that story for his glory. And yeah. that's why I'm sitting here today, so.
Something that you said he needed to be healed from your words. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're not our grandmothers. We're not that anymore. You know, we have evolved in business, and you know, a lot of us have ambitions and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think, again, society and Hollywood does a good job of painting the picture that we are, that we have evolved as women. But how do we still maintain who we need to be in our homes? And what is the posture when we have dealt with the boardroom? We're in control. In the boardroom, we're in control in our businesses,
mm-hmm.
and then we come home and we have to take on a different hat. What is our posture? What does that look like when we're trying to make sure that we have the right posture when we have poked holes in our marriage
mm-hmm.
and we have really sometimes even emasculate our
mm-hmm.
men?
Mm-hmm. That's it. I think for me, surrender. I take off the hat. I am a leader. My husband as well mm-hmm. is as well. And so, but I know how to allow him to lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want him to lead. I don't want to take his space. I don't want to take his place. I want to create an environment where he feels respected. Mm-hmm. So I make sure I respect him, but I don't just say it, I show
mm-hmm.
it. I pray for him. I pray for us. I have my war room. And where I go to battle is in my war room. I cover my husband. I minister to him. You know, as I'm ministering to him, I cover him. I pray over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to make sure that I allow God to use me to be the answer to the prayers that I'm praying.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I take off the hat because I don't want to lead all the time. I want to sit down somewhere and let somebody else lead. So baby, you can lead. I'm okay. And even if he makes mistakes, it's okay
mm-hmm.
because that's the grace that I want from God.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the same grace I need to extend towards my husband. And so I'm okay with taking off the hat. I'm okay with letting him make a few mistakes. I am now. I'll say it like that.
Yeah.
Because in the past, no. But now I'm at a place where, babe, look, I want you to do all the things. I don't have to do all the things. Even now, as I'm planning for my retreat, I know what I want, but I love to hear his input.
Mm-hmm.
I want it. I welcome it. I want him to feel a part of my journey. I'm more than just a wife, but when I get to be one, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, girl.
I remember this one moment, I was really upset and I called, a woman that I know, I knew would tell me the truth. And she said, baby, you got to learn how to ask that man questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He can't read your mind.
And she was saying to me, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to ask questions. And you know, want to hear, and you said it just a moment ago, you said, you know, you want to hear his insight. You want to hear what he thinks about, you know, your retreat. You want to hear his input. And I think sometimes we need to do that even to get in posture and in position.
Yeah. Just like we want to be chased and want to be loved and feel appreciated, they want that as well. Yeah. I mean, we feel like they're Superman, but they also want us to appreciate them. And I do it all the time for my husband. I want him to know that I'm his biggest cheerleader. And I don't want to just say it. You know, I want him to feel it. And that's how I operate. That's how, if you see us now, if he walk in the door, listen, I'm going to run over there and jump on that man. because that's just who we are. Mm-hmm. I truly love him out loud. And I love him well. His flaws and all. I love all of him. So,
That's good. So tell me a little bit about... her dope marriage. Tell us how you came up with it. I feel like you told us a little bit, but how did you come up with it?
Well, it was me and God. We had a conversation. I was in corporate, bossing it up, making all the money. Couldn't tell me anything. And I never forget one day, we were staying with our daughter. We were building our dream home. So we stayed with her for about a year. And it was one Saturday, I woke up and God said, it's time. I'm like, what? Is he talking to me? You know, God, is that you? And so he was like, it's time to share your story. I'm like, I do not want people to know, you know, how I was toxic with my words, how I didn't know how to treat my husband, just all the things. I just didn't, shame came with that, guilt, just unworthiness. So I'm like, okay. So I sat on it for a minute. So then he said, I told you, it's time to push. And I was like, okay. And so I remember doodling, just sitting there one day, and I had a different name, and I got with a trademark attorney, and he was like, oh, that name is taken. So God gave me Her Dope Marriage. And Her Dope Marriage was a birth of, you know, when marriage is good, you know, it's easy for us as wives to love on our husbands, to skip and hop and jump and find the joy on the good days. But Daddy was saying, nah, what about on those bad days? Yeah. What about when it's hard to love them? Can you still show love? And I'm like, ugh. And so he wanted me to use my story. And so if you follow me on social media, that's everything that I post starts with me. I don't even know how many posts I got out there, maybe about 2,000 or so. They're all a part of my story. Mm-hmm. It's just people get a chance to eavesdrop on what God did for me and how I dealt with it. And so so that's why I created it. Her Dope Marriage is for that wife, that woman, that girl, sister who wants to even be married. Like, what do I need to do? How do I practice this before I actually walk into it? And so so that's why Her Dope Marriage was created. She's my baby. I love her. My husband and I, we have programs even in that where we coach couples. And so he's on this journey with me. And he gets to see me transform lives. And I tell you, initially I was like, God, I don't want it. And I'm not saying it's easy now because it comes with weight. But I get to hear from women all over sharing their testimony about not just restoration, but transformation.
How would you say the ministry has evolved? You know, we start something and we say, okay, we're going to start here. But how has it evolved in the 5 years that you guys have been in ministry?
Well, it had to. I don't even know if I can give you something tangible. Mm-hmm. But my relationship with God is not where it was.
Yeah.
So everything you get from podcasting to conversations to coaching, you're going to get something extra. Why? Because I'm not the same person. The anointing that's on me, the oil that's on me, the power that's on me, I'm not coming in the name of Keisha Bass. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Initially, I was coming in the name of Keisha Bass, and I was timid. But now, I'm like a lion, girl. I'm ready. And I know the
enemy, he will come for me. But see, when I put on my armor and I know who I am, I move, and I whatever the enemy tries to throw my way, my daddy, I'll never forget, he told me, I go before you. So everything that comes your way, oh, I feel it first. So I got you. So yes, I her dope marriage is not just a platform. It's a lifestyle. It's a safe space. It's a place for women to feel seen and heard, but then also understand, girl, there are some things that you need to do. Dude. Listen, we're not my platform. You go out there and never talk about the husband, because that is not for me to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you. Girl, what can you do? Yeah. Going back to 1 Peter 3:1, how can you change what you see? How can you be the change that you want to see? All the things.
So in this moment, I just believe that there's so much of the pity party out there.
Yes.
There's so much of the woe is me, he's doing this, he's doing that. It's so much of that. And I just believe there is so much more. There are so many more ears that need to hear this message.
Yeah.
That there's so much more that we need to do to evolve. So I'm excited for your ministry. Like, I feel like I'm a fan now.
I'm excited about the people that get an opportunity to hear my story. I know there are a lot of women out here saying the same thing, doing the same thing, and we all are unique in our own way. We do this for the kingdom, but I just know that, it to your point, it's time out for us saying, okay, well, he did this and he did that. Girl, I'm telling you, once you get in position, and you understand who you are, and you understand the power that's on the inside of you. Scripture says that God, he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, and he called us a prophet to the nation. So what are you saying? So are you speaking life over your husband, or are you speaking death? And so I feel like we need to use our words for power. Yeah. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. We say that, but I don't think we believe it. And so everything that we do is a seed. The question is, what are you sowing? What are you sowing, girl?
Okay, so we're wrapping up. This has been amazing. I'm really, really excited about, again, I already told you I'm a fan now. So I'm ready to share her dope marriage with so many people in my life. But where can we find you? Where can the person listening to this video, where can they find you? What's your social media handles? What's your website? Tell us about the retreat.
So you can find me on IG, Threads, TikTok, Facebook, Her Dope Marriage. It's her.dope.marriage. My website is herdopemarriage.com. On Pinterest, for those that, you know, you go and do some pins, I'm out there as well. My retreat, actually, the registration closed today.
So next year.
I'm really excited. The retreat is for all women. It's women's empowerment. And this year we have an amazing, I don't know if you ever heard of her, Fanika Friend. And I absolutely love her. And so God is going to do some things. And so for that wife, for that sister, for that friend, for that woman that wants to be your absolute best self in marriage, even if you're not married yet, definitely follow. And I say this, you don't even have to follow initially. Just go check it out. And I promise you, you'll say, oh, let me click that button, because she's giving some nuggets, some gems.
Amen. All right, ladies, you got a lot. Now let's go work on our marriages.